Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. Let's get this party started, shall we? It's Monday, August 13th, 2018, and you're tuned in live to Road Warrior Radio on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is, to be sure. And we'll talk a little bit about how wild it is. The story of the unlikely events, Richard Russell's unlikely aviation expedition, very unlikely. And again, we'll probably have to play the clip from Ronan, you know, if there's any doubt, there is no doubt. And it's entirely a fanciful tale. You know, I'm telling you, we are marinated, steeped in stories. Chimerical is the sort of word that keeps coming to mind for me. And fanciful tales that are entirely improbable, implausible. And we're supposed to believe them. The more fanciful, improbable, impossible, implausible, the more likely. That's what we're led to believe. We keep seeing these stories now. And so when you see these plot lines and coming out of Hollywood in movies and television and books and things, do people still read? People need to understand it has an effect on your mind and your critical thinking process. There is an erosion, a deterioration over time when you are constantly bombarded by a storyline that would have you believe the impossible. It's suspension of disbelief eventually that sort of becomes habitual for your mind. It becomes solidified or calcified, hardened. It's basically a lulling of your conscience and your critical thought process to sleep in lieu of these impossible tales, because it's easy. You know, we're encouraged to take the path of least resistance in just about everything in America these days, and this is no exception. Your brain should be asking questions. Well, maybe we'll play that clip too. So you got the Ronin clip and then that media clip. I can't remember which radio host over at the Blaze. We should play that clip. The clip about the media. And if you're not asking questions, in this case, the context is if you're not asking questions, you are a propagandist. And so that's what you see everywhere you look. So you watch Hollywood films or television, for example, and you watch the way that things are cut together. And anytime you watch the outtakes, you know, if you've ever watched bloopers, for example, from a Jackie Chan movie, no one is better at the kind of circus acts and just high speed acrobatics. No one's been better over the years than Jackie Chan. And you watch the bloopers and the outtakes, and even when something is set up and it's rehearsed and everything is staged, it still doesn't work out as planned. And in some cases, it takes several takes to actually get the shot. But when you watch the finished product, you don't see that. And your mind suspends its disbelief so that you can enjoy the film in this case. It's improbable. All of those things cannot happen that way altogether. You watch any of the films that have been made from Robert Ludlum's book series, you know, the Bourne series, same thing. You know, there's no way that things happen like that. That's not real life. And so you basically train your mind by watching those things to form a habitual suspension of disbelief. I know I'm watching cars fly across the screen and robots turn into, you know, a car turn into a robot, turn into a talking sentient thing, or at least it seems that way, even though it's an actor narrating and CGI programming that has created a thing that looks like something else. So your mind knows all of that, and it goes through this struggle, and subconsciously you're trying to enjoy the film, and so your mind says, okay, fine, your frontal lobe basically says, I'm gonna check out this. That can't happen. And those of us who don't do that, who don't allow our brain to just basically take a nap, people don't like that. They don't like watching movies with you when you say, oh yeah, that's not real, that can't happen. Everybody gets frustrated. I'm just trying to enjoy the movie. Can you keep it to yourself? Not really. It's kind of frustrating and irritating. I mean, if you're going to do something like this, make it a little more plausible, a little more real. I'm convinced that these kinds of things have been used as a mechanism to program people. When you start to look at, I mean, I've talked, for example, a number of times about how the anthropomorphic theme seems to be a perfect tool for the suspension of disbelief. Animals don't talk, so, you know, stuffed animals don't talk, inanimate objects don't talk. Let's use those things as a way to immediately shut down the critical thinking process. And it's further interesting then when you start to realize that some of the most popular books of the last half century or more were written by a spy, Roald Dahl. You know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, James and the Giant Peach, books like that, anthropomorphic theme. And then when you read some of his darker stuff, you wonder why anyone would let children read that stuff and why they would make movies about it. Or, you know, L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz. Why do we have to watch that every year? Especially when it gives grown-ups. I know adults who have nightmares when they watch it. I literally do. I know one person in particular. Every time she watches it, she says, I have nightmares. Why would you do that? Why do we have to see that over and over? It's not a happy tale. And, you know, then there are the more esoteric elements of the film. And then there are the tragic stories behind it. Anyway, it's really not something that is worth remembering, so to speak, you know? Anyway, suspension of disbelief. Yeah, exactly. Mr. Bordop says Robert Zemeckis, Back to the Future, is remaking The Witches too. Yeah, exactly. Not happy, not fun. But, you know, so the anthropomorphic theme, it's interesting when you realize that basically the CIA has commissioned authors who have adopted that theme. Roald Dahl is was one of the point guys in the creation of the CIA, and a children's author. That's not strange and disturbing at all, is it? So, suspension of disbelief, you know, I'm seeing these things that are impossible, but my brain's going to take a nap so that I can enjoy something. Well, that seems to have just been creeping into the headlines, particularly in the post-9/11 era, but definitely before as well. And now, every time we see something that is completely improbable, some, you know, a kid like Nicholas Cruz, who can't work a toaster or can't work a microwave, according to the family he lives with. That's what they said. The last family they stayed with, the Sneed family, used to joke, you know, adulting 101 with Nicholas Cruz. He can't run a microwave, but somehow he pulls off a Jason Bourne style operation. You know? Talked about Stephen Paddock in the updates last week on the Las Vegas. Look what's happening. These stories that just – we are so – I mentioned the French comedian. I forget his name again, who talks about the language we use in America. It is so sensationalized that we're – you know, we just need – like everything else, every other aspect of our junkie society, whether we're – you know, media junkies, social media junkies, or whether it's prescription medication or whatever it is, you know, and the economic aspect of our junkie society, a system, a predatory financial system that is built on a Ponzi scheme that Congress sanctioned back in 1913. And that's what it is. Congress lets a private company do that. And that's okay, because remember, I mean, the St. Louis Fed, let's see, today, who owns the Federal Reserve in plain English? It's still there. The Federal Reserve banks, the St. Louis Fed, has this on their website today. The Federal Reserve banks are not, and not is italicized, the Federal Reserve banks are not a part of the federal government. But they exist because of an act of Congress, again, italicized. So then, is the Fed private or public? That's the question they ask. The next paragraph, first sentence, the answer is both. Gosh, that sounds like fascism. The Federal Reserve banks are not a part of the federal government. That's interesting, because the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, as I recall, is that still in there? Congress has the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and foreign coin, and fix the standards and weights and measures to coin money. Congress has the exclusive privilege, if you will, according to the Constitution, to coin money. Yet somehow a private corporation is doing that. Private, public, public, private. A fascist cabal. The cartel, as G. Edward Griffin would put it. So, I guess we're, you know, anyway, that's another aspect of this junkie society. And, so things have to get more and more sensational. You know, the next blockbuster has to have more. We live in a society that is just not comfortable sitting still and, well, the way the Bible puts it, be still and know that I am God, you know. Let's just appreciate what we have and not be hysterical and insane constantly. Anyway, here's an example of how crazy things have gotten. So the update on the last October's Las Vegas incident, whatever did or did not happen, because again, it was entirely improbable. I mentioned the two headlines last week that went largely unnoticed, New York Post and Associated Press, reprinted in Fox 59, I think. So basically, the storyline, as we're led to believe, is that after months of investigation, motive is elusive in that incident. And that sort of flew entirely under the radar. People, that, like I said last week, there should be marching in the streets. There should be a million-man march. Sheriff Joe Lombardo or I forget what his official title is. Anyway, Joe Lombardo should be run out of town on a rail. Whoever is responsible for his shenanigans, who exactly is pulling the strings behind the scenes, I don't know, but it's been clear along the way that strings are being pulled. Aaron Rao, special agent in charge, is another probably puppet and puppeteer. And so he should meet the same fate. You're done. You'll be lucky if you flip burgers. You won't be in charge of anything. It needs to stop. So we're led to believe that Stephen Paddock, a guy who spent over $100,000 on hardware and planned for a year, scouted out locations, and, you know, fired how many hundreds of rounds, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Again, an entirely implausible scenario. Did it for no reason. And that flies under the radar. That's the situation we're in. We'll talk about a couple more examples and move on to big stories. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
So here's how crazy things have gotten. The Las Vegas incident, you know, it's just so, again, chimerical is the only word that really, to me, accurately describes what we're seeing. And so the Las Vegas incident is one of those chimerical sorts of tales. You're telling me that a guy who plans for over years, where we've been led to believe, the facts don't add up. Numerous facts don't add up. People have died mysteriously. That's very odd, connected to the – and particularly people who said, you know, something was fishy. Something didn't seem right. You know, several people, more than half a dozen, passed away almost immediately after the incident. That's weird. And so we're told that a guy who, you know, a senior citizen planned for over a year, spent over $100,000 on hardware, managed to tote the majority of said hardware up to a 32nd floor hotel room in a town that is blanketed with cameras. There's nowhere on earth, including government installations, that's more tightly controlled by security footage than Las Vegas. And so ask yourself, how many videos, how many pictures have you seen showing Stephen Paddock in Las Vegas? And were they clear pictures in Las Vegas at all, let alone on the days and night in question? How many videos? You know, why did it take months to produce videos that should have been available immediately? The only suspect is deceased. What could the possible reason for withholding that information be? And so from there, you leap forward to now, and the investigation's closed. Still don't have a motive. No big deal. Nothing to see here. That's not strange. All of that is not strange. We don't have a motive. Remember when Fox News, former FBI, gosh, who was that said that? You know, he said, it's Las Vegas. Within the next two or three days, we should see, you know, within the coming couple of days, we should be just like bombarded with video footage and photos. It never happened. Is that strange? Never happened. So you fast forward to now, and we have three pictures. You know, the one that looks staged, entirely staged, that I mentioned, you know, from the, allegedly from the night of the incident, and the crappy, grainy, pixelated photo that Eric Paddock gave to authorities, allegedly. Yeah, I've had this photo in my wallet for 30 years. Here you go. Maybe this is helpful. You have those two, and then you have the picture of the Mandalay Bay with windows broken out. Those are the only photos that we have. Those are the most remarkable photos after months of investigation. They don't tell you anything. The headline says it all, you know. No motive. No motive. Case closed. Who plans for over a year? Spends over $100,000. Can you imagine? $100,000 worth of hardware. A year's worth of planning or more. No motive. Does that make sense to you? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really.
How did you know it was an ambush?
Whenever there is any doubt, there is no doubt. That's the first thing they teach you.
Who taught you?
I don't remember. That's the second thing they teach you. All good things come to those who wait.
There's any doubt, there is no doubt. We are, you know, I'm going to try to express this without hyperbole. It's difficult to convey what's happening because if you try to use language to warn people and say, you know, this is incredible, this is astonishing, it just, It falls flat. People don't understand. It's Doc Thompson that I was thinking of, the Morning Blaze. He's the one who said what I'm thinking of. August 3rd, 10 days ago, the media exposed, is the title of the clip, I want to play that in a minute. But the media needs to be asking questions. The problem is the media is complicit. The media is largely bought and paid for, as William Colby, CIA Director William Colby, intimated back in, what was it, 75, in congressional proceedings. Does the CIA employ credentialed journalists? Well, yeah, you know, we have done that. Sure. Never mind the fact that even the most seemingly innocuous programs, you know, Cooking with Julia Child, worked for Wild Bill Donovan himself. You know, how can you be asking questions when you are the controlled opposition? CIA has been caught so many times faking and staging stories that it's, you know, Brian Williams. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, at what point, if we know these things to be true and we just sort of, you know, create a little Hollywood set for this, I mean, is it really yeah, it's lying. It is. Always, every single time, without exception, it's always lying. It's always deceitful. It's always bearing false witness. It's never not that. So it's difficult to be asking questions when that's what's going on. So here is the state of things. Here's how crazy things are. So it was crazy when the Wall Street Journal ran the front page above the fold headline last Wednesday. Musk looks to take Tesla private. And, you know, it's not weird when Elon Musk tweets, "I'm considering taking Tesla private at 420, funding secured." That's weird for a variety of reasons that I'm not going to get into. But, I mean, just, you know, weird again, you know, when it's convenient, it's public. When it's convenient, it's private. And that's not even scratching the surface. That's not even, you know. Anyway, I'm not going to get into this. So that's weird. And then right below that front page, above the fold, Wall Street Journal's Wednesday, August 8th headline, "Solemn Moment Marks 20th Anniversary of Embassy Bombings." Here's how weird things are. I'm not sure I can encapsulate this to convey the profound stupidity and ignorance of the American population on things we should all be knowledged up on, generally aware of. Solemn moment marks 20th anniversary of embassy bombings. So this is, you know, there's a photo. Margaret Ackling holds her rosary near the name of her daughter and others killed in the bombing of the U.S. embassy in Nairobi, Kenya. The Al-Qaeda bombings on the embassy on the embassies in Kenya and Tanzania on August 7th, 1998 killed more than 250. And then you can, you know, skip back and see the rest of the story on A7. Anyway, so, I mean, gosh, you know, where do you begin? So the embassy, the 1998, August 7, 1998, embassy bombings. Let's see, do we begin with the Osama bin Laden wanted poster, the FBI 10 most wanted poster? FBI, let's see. Caution, Osama bin Laden is wanted in connection with the August 7, 1998 bombings of the United States embassies in Tanzania and Kenya. These attacks killed over 200 people. In addition, bin Laden is a suspect in other terrorist attacks throughout the world. Isn't there, you know, we've talked for years on this network about the glaring oversight. Other terrorist attacks. So the big one he's wanted for is the August 7, 1998 embassy bombings. Not September 11, 2001. That's odd. It's further odd, further curious. You go to Wikipedia, the whitewashed, sanitized version of history, which is an oxymoron, of course. And the second sentence, the attacks, which were linked to local members of the Egyptian Islamic Jihad, brought Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and their terrorist organization Al-Qaeda to the attention of the U.S. public for the first time. That's not entirely true either. And so your brain makes, again, a suspension of disbelief. There's a little bit of cognitive dissonance that sort of happens here. You read, brought bin Laden, al-Zawahiri, and al-Qaeda to the attention of the U.S. public for the first time. So your mind thinks, oh, well, no one knew about them. No one knew about al-Qaeda. But we know that's not true, don't we? So here's, with a little sleight of hand, basically, it's mind trickery. Your mind thinks, well, no one knew, including the intelligence community. Ah, but we know that's not true, don't we? Because Operation Cyclone, Wikipedia entry, whitewashed, sanitized as it may be, says right at the outset, Operation Cyclone was the code name for the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency program to arm and finance the Mujahideen in Afghanistan from 1979 to 89. And for those who don't know, if you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, you, like Bob in North Carolina, are probably frustrated with the redundancy with which I've covered this issue, because from it stems so many things and, you know, policy directions and things. It's kind of like Nixon's war on drugs that was originally, as has been admitted now, it was started for specious, fallacious reasons to target certain people groups to sort of get them out of the way. And now, complements of that and parallel efforts, we are the most highly incarcerated society per capita of any country in the world, including those places that we like to say, oh, they're so, you know, nope. America has the highest incarceration rate in the entire world, largely due to the efforts of the war on drugs, which was started to target two specific people groups to get them out of the way politically. So all of this terror nonsense, same thing. Operation Cyclone, the CIA created the Mujahideen, recruited, trained, funded, armed the Afghan Mujahideen. And officially the story is that the Soviets invaded and 6 months later we trained this force of Mujahideen. But we know that's not true. That's the story that Hillary Clinton even tells. Remember the interview with Greta Van Susteren on the record, Pakistan, where Hillary said, we created the enemy we're fighting today. Officially, the Soviets invaded, but we know that Brzezinski admitted in that 1998 interview, La Nouvelle Observatoire, actually, we created the Mujahideen in the summer of, what was it, 79, I believe. And shortly thereafter, the Soviets got wind of it and said, I wonder how they got wind of it. So we better do something. And so they invaded. And as Brzezinski said, we didn't force the Soviets to invade, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. From this CIA operation came the roots of Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Nusra Front, ISIS, Lashkar-e-Taiba, all of these groups that we hear about. And while we're at it, it's, you know, probably important to mention the Salafi movement. And if you go to the Wikipedia entry for Salafi movement, and the section titled Views on Extremism. Let's see. Today it still says Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Al-Shabaab. In addition, Saudi Arabia prints textbooks for schools and universities to teach Salafism, as well as recruit international students from Egypt, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Africa, and the Balkans. Speaking of Balkanization through radical ideology, because remember, like this section says, Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia, and this ideology, not religion, ideology is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Al-Shabaab. So Saudi Arabia, one of our dearest allies in the region, is responsible for spreading the ideology used to justify violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups. And even PBS Frontline has covered this from basically end to end. Again, I think it was November of 2001, just 2 months after the fateful events, whatever happened. You know, it's interesting, that image of, you know, that picture of the Twin Towers. It says never forget, and then Building 7, forget. Funny, that one wasn't hit by a plane, was it? Speaking of, you know, suspension of disbelief and cognitive leaps, making connections that aren't there, which we shouldn't do. Anyway, you know, this is all information that should be common knowledge. And it's also interesting that the same sorts of interests that are a degree or so separated from the front lines of Al-Qaeda are also funding Islamic studies, air quotes, in America. You know, at places like Yale, which is weird. And it's not really Islamic studies, it's Salafi, Wahhabi studies. And as I've said before, when you read what these kids are writing that come out of that Islamic studies program, so-called, they sound like radical Wahhabi jihadists and Salafi jihadists. What a surprise. So anyway, PBS has covered this Frontline. You know, the Uncomfortable Alliance, that video, PBS Frontline has that playlist, Saudi Arabia, and that video, Inside the Awkward U.S.-Saudi Alliance Against ISIS. We've played that. Maybe we should play it again. It says it all. So Saudi Arabia is creating these schools, and they're sucking these naive, unwitting people in, mostly young people. And then they, you know, along with the, we'll teach you how to read and write. And guess what? We will give you a steady diet of this radical ideological nonsense. So you push people down. It's like the Jack in the Box scenario. You oppress a people for long enough, you create pressure, and then every once in a while you know, give someone an opportunity like this. You identify people that might be susceptible to being radicalized, which again is interesting because, listen, again, right back to the Wikipedia entry for Operation Cyclone, the program leaned heavily towards supporting militant Islamic groups that were favored by the regime rather than other less ideological Afghan resistance groups that had already been fighting the Marxist-oriented Democratic Republic of Afghanistan regime since before the Soviet intervention. Why would the CIA lean heavily towards supporting militant Islamic groups? You know, the kinds of Salafi, Wahhabi, Diobandi radicals that we've seen ever since, you know, like Zbigniew Brzezinski put it, you know, what's more important, the freedom of certain people groups or a few stirred up Muslims? That sounds disingenuous. Anyway, to conclude this segment on this whole the sleight of hand and the gaslighting of America. Operation Cyclone. Remember what Gary Webb said? We play that clip once in a while too. Washington or C-SPAN's Washington Journal. He's talking about Jonathan Quitney's book, Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World. They were talking about Bin Laden, Robin riots, LA Times article. You know, what was the title of that? I forget. Saudi Dissident, A Prime Suspect in Blast. That's an interesting article. A guy, Osama Bin Laden, a guy who has hundreds of millions of dollars. Where did that come from? Goes to King Abdulaziz School for Economics and Management, which is a sort of equivalent of the London School of Economics. Just happens to drop out in time to be recruited by the CIA into leading Al-Qaeda. And Robin Cook's article is important too. Should always be a sort of companion to this discussion. When it comes to Bin Laden, what is Al-Qaeda, you know? We used to hear the database initially, the database. Well, Robin Cook reminds us, you know, Bin Laden was, though, a product of monumental miscalculation by Western security agencies. Throughout the 80s, he was armed by the CIA and funded by the Saudis. Who is Robin Cook? How does he know? Well, do a little research on Robin Cook. You'll know how he knows and who he was. Funded by the Saudis, Bin Laden was. To wage jihad against the Russian occupation of Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda, literally the database, quote-unquote, was originally the computer file of the thousands of mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA to defeat the Russians. Anyway, that's a great article. And the most important part of it is when he says, the danger now is that the West's current response to the terrorist threat compounds that original error. So long as the struggle against terrorism is conceived as a war that can be won by military means, it is doomed to fail. The more the West emphasizes confrontation, the more it silences moderate voices in the Muslim world. We've seen that bear out over the last 10 plus years now since Robin Cook's article was published. The more the West emphasizes confrontation, the more it silences moderate voices in the Muslim world who want to speak up for cooperation. Success, do we want success? Success will only come from isolating the terrorists and denying them support, not giving them another title and an Academy Award-winning propaganda film. That's not going to result in success. Success will only come from isolating the terrorists and denying them support, funds, and recruits, which means focusing. And so how do you do that? You know, shut down the rat lines. Shut down the trafficking. Shut down the propaganda, basically. You know, the Saudi-funded propaganda lines. Don't let that kind of stuff be pumped into these poor neighborhoods where, you know, an imam accompanies the tools that are published online. They create a mosque. Where's the money coming from? Don't worry about that. And the next thing you know, la 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 la, you know, Team America. It's ridiculous. Stop. Like Robin Cook wrote, success will only come from isolating the terrorists and denying them support, funds, and recruits, which means focusing more on our common ground with the Muslim world than on what divides us. And it's perhaps a most provocative footnote of Robin Cook's July 8, 2005 Guardian article, the day after the London 7/7 attacks, to realize that less than a month after this article was published, Robin Cook died of a massive heart attack. An otherwise healthy gentleman. just suddenly fell over and died of a massive heart attack. That's interesting. I think it was Frank Church in Congress holding something that, you know, a weapon that the CIA used for nefarious purposes of this sort. And so, you know, that article is still published. For how long, who knows? Anyway, the most glaring, I think, example of gaslighting, speaking of this whole narrative, you know, it's not enough that the 20th anniversary of the embassy bombings was a front page above the fold story, albeit, you know, the second of two on Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. And, you know, the whole story is largely misunderstood or not understood, and that's very intentional, obviously. People don't know. Isn't it important to know? But the ultimate example of gaslighting in this whole story is on the Operation Cyclone Wikipedia entry, this section titled Alleged Connections of CIA Assistance to Bin Laden. Alleged Connections of CIA assistance to bin Laden. Some have alleged that bin Laden and Al-Qaeda were beneficiaries of CIA assistance. Seriously? I mean, this whole Wikipedia entry is about that. The whole Wikipedia entry is about that. The CIA. If you go through the sort of family tree, the organizational chart of these groups, then you understand that they all were born out of the Afghan Mujahideen. But, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves and try to pretend that we had layers of separation there. It wasn't like the CIA was funneling Costco containers of cash directly to Al-Qaeda. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Anyway, some have alleged that bin Laden and Al-Qaeda were beneficiaries of CIA assistance. This is challenged by experts such as Cole, who notes that declassified CIA records and interviews with CIA officers do not support such claims, and Peter Bergen, who argues the theory that bin Laden was created by the CIA, is invariably advanced as an axiom with no supporting evidence. Really, kind of like the axiom that bin Laden was wanted in connection with the events of September 11, advanced as an axiom with no supporting evidence. Because remember, it was Robert Mueller himself who said there's not a single piece of paper that connects bin Laden to 9/11. Mueller himself said that. And again, the FBI wanted poster mentions the August 7, 98 embassy bombings. No mention of September 11. That's funny. Huh. Wonder why that is. No one is curious as to why. Continuing, though. Yeah. Bergen insists that U.S. funding went to the Afghan Mujahideen, not the Arab volunteers who arrived to assist them. However, Sir Martin Ewens notes that the Afghan Arabs benefited indirectly from the CIA's funding through the ISI, Pakistani ISI and resistance organizations. Yeah, you know, I mean, come on. Doesn't matter how many times you launder it. The crime is the same. And that it has been reckoned that as many as 35,000 Arab Afghans may have received military training in Pakistan at an estimated cost of $800 million in the years up to and including 1988. Some of the CIA's greatest Afghan beneficiaries were Arabist commanders. Some of the CIA's greatest Afghan beneficiaries were Arabist commanders, such as Haqqani, the Haqqani Network, and Hekmatyar, who were key allies of bin Laden over the years. Exactly. And again, these groups all splintered off from the Mujahideen. Haqqani, one of bin Laden's closest associates in the 1980s, received direct cash payments from CIA agents –